This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. You've sent so many emails to your tax pro and nothing. It feels like you're chasing updates. But now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax expert, so you actually know what's happening. You can match with an expert and just hand off all your tax stuff to them right in the app. So instead of guessing, you can feel confident your TurboTax expert's on it. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Only available with TurboTax experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
Welcome to a special bonus episode of Hot Off the Wire. In this edition of our daily news program, we feature a selection of stories covering a variety of topics. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, those stories from the Associated Press.
U.S. flu infections showed signs of a slight drop last week, but health officials say it's not clear this severe flu season has peaked. Last flu season was one of the harshest in recent history. This one may be worse.
On a national level, we really are seeing unprecedented numbers of cases as well as hospitalizations.
Dr. Andrew Wallach in New York earlier this week. Today, government data shows flu activity last week fell, but flu deaths and hospitalizations rose. Experts predict there is more suffering to come.
Getting flu shot today. Your arm's going to be slightly sore for a day or two.
Wallach's message to anyone who has yet to get a flu shot.
It's not too late.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says flu infections surged over the holidays. Numbers from the CDC show 45 states reported high or very high flu activity during the week of Christmas, up from 30 states the week before. The higher numbers appear to be driven by the type of flu that's been spreading. One type of the flu virus, called H3N2, historically has caused the most hospitalizations and deaths in older people. More than 90% of the H3N2 infections analyzed were a new version that differs from the strain in this year's flu shots. Flu season usually peaks by February. The CDC estimates there have been at least 11 million illnesses, 120,000 hospitalizations, and 5,000 deaths from the flu so far this season. I'm Ed Donahue.
The U.S. dropped the number of vaccines it recommends for every child. The unprecedented step of cutting the number of vaccines the U.S. recommends for every child is a move that leading medical groups said would undermine protections against half a dozen diseases. Dr. Robert Hopkins with the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases explains how that could affect some communities.
While these new recommendations on paper do not take away access to vaccines to children or to families, they may, in reality, take away access, particularly for those who are vulnerable, who don't have easy access to a healthcare professional.
What's no longer broadly recommended is protection against flu, hepatitis A, hepatitis B, and some forms of meningitis or RSV. Instead, protections against those diseases are only recommended for certain groups deemed high risk or when doctors recommend them in what's called shared decision-making. Hiya Pajwani, Washington.
As the IRS faces challenges following a 26% reduction in its workforce and significant tax law challenges on the horizon, some analysts are warning that it could be a rocky year this year when filing your taxes. Experts routinely suggest that it's best to be an early bird, if you can, when it comes to filing your taxes. The IRS will start accepting tax returns for 2025 on January 26th. This filing season, the IRS must implement major provisions from President Donald Trump and the Congressional Republicans' tax plan, requiring the IRS to update tax forms, likely leading to more questions from taxpayers. The filing deadline is April 15th. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A new report shows a 25% drop in deaths of on-duty law enforcement officers. The National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund says the deaths of on-duty law enforcement officers in the U.S. decreased by nearly 25% in 2025. The drop from 148th deaths to 111 in the one-year period includes decreases in officers killed by firearms, in traffic-related incidents, and in other on-duty occurrences. Officials say that while increased training, better medical resources, and public awareness campaigns account for some of the decrease, others come down to luck. And a decrease in firearm fatalities does not mean fewer people shot at police officers. I'm Haya Panjwani.
On December 13th, a gunman fired shots inside an academic building on the Brown University campus in Providence, Rhode Island.
We had no idea where it was happening.
But 15 minutes before the university's first alert of an active shooter, students, like Shravya Sankungari, were being warned about what was going on.
Everyone was just posting. We have this like anonymous like app called SideChat where everyone posts things on, and everyone was saying that they had been hearing stuff like from all over the place.
SideChat is an anonymous message board for college students in the U.S., and it provides fast-flowing information in real time. Kyle Venn is SideChat's CEO.
Users sign on with a EDU email address, and then once they're verified, they are able to join their college community and discuss things like classes. They can discuss current events. They talk about parties. They talk about life.
And on December 13th, they talked about the gunman, where they thought he was, and where on campus they should avoid.
I do know timeline events-wise, a student who was able to post around 4:10 saying, stay away from Thayer Street, which I think was just very critical. There were people that were asking questions they might have otherwise felt embarrassed to ask or thought might be stupid, like, can I go get food? Can I use the bathroom? Can I open the door right now? And then to see the outpouring of support and the responses from other students in the feed, basically saying no, like wait until you get more information.
By the time the shooting was over, the gunman had killed two students and wounded nine people. But many students were able to stay safe by communicating with each other. One student wrote, where would we be without SideChat?
I'm just glad that there was this opportunity for people to post and notify other students.
I'm Donna Water.
Abby, a 9-year-old golden retriever mix, was among several dogs being transported from a South Carolina shelter to a planned new home in Maine. That is, until she escaped during a bathroom break along the New Jersey Turnpike. Abby wandered for about 25 miles. Volunteers eventually pinpointed her location in a wooded area using her tracking tag and thermal imaging from a drone. Abby suffered a hip injury that will require surgery but is otherwise fine. Abby is now back with her foster family in South Carolina. While dogs are great at learning action commands like sit and stay, they're less good at remembering the names of things. Normally, researchers have identified an elite group of about 50 pooches that can. 10 gifted dogs, including a border collie named Basket and a Labrador named Augie, watched their owners hold a new toy and talk about it to another person. Then the pups were told to go into another room and retrieve that specific toy from one of many others. 7 out of the 10 dogs succeeded, even when their owners put the toy in a box. Only a few other animals, like parrots and apes, have demonstrated a knack for this kind of eavesdropping. It's also essential to human development. Children under age 2 can pick up on new words from listening, including ones that their parents might not have intended. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
After a woman was shot and killed by an ICE agent in Minneapolis, Mayor Jacob Frey says now is not the time to hide the facts.
Our ask is to embrace the truth. Our ask is to include the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension in this process because we in Minneapolis want a fair investigation.
Federal officials say an immigration officer acted in self-defense when he shot and killed Renee Good. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem called it an act of domestic terrorism. The mayor has been accused of making inflammatory comments.
I dropped an F-bomb. They killed somebody. Which one of those is more inflammatory? I'm going with the killing somebody.
The mayor says video of the shooting disputes the self-defense claim. Vice President J.D. Vance says Good's death was a tragedy, but a tragedy of her own making. I'm Ed Donahue.
Elon Musk's AI chatbot, Grok, is now restricting image generation and editing to paying subscribers only, following global backlash over the creation of sexualized deepfakes, including images of women in explicit positions, some images reportedly depicting children. Grok is still granting image requests, but only to ex-users with blue check marks given to premium subscribers who pay $8 a month. Governments worldwide have condemned the platform and have launched investigations, including British officials who argue that the changes are insufficient. The European Union has ordered X to retain documents related to Grok as part of a wider investigation. Facebook parent Meta has reached nuclear power deals with three companies as it continues to look for electricity sources for its artificial intelligence data centers. Meta struck agreements with TerraPower, Oklo, and Vistra for nuclear power for its Prometheus AI data center that's being built in Ohio. Meta announced Prometheus, which will be a 1 gigawatt cluster spanning across multiple data center buildings in July. Prometheus is anticipated to come online this year. Meta says that the three deals will support up to 6.6 gigawatts of new and existing clean energy by 2035. According to a general industry standard for utilities, a single gigawatt can power roughly 750,000 homes. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
General Motors will be hit with about $6 billion in charges in the fourth quarter. Sales of electric vehicles slowed after the U.S. cut tax incentives to buy EVs and eased auto emissions standards. The new charges follow an announcement in October that the Detroit automaker would take a $1.6 billion charge for the same reason in the previous quarter. Automakers are being forced to reconsider ambitious plans to convert their fleets to electric power. The EV tax credit ended in September. The clean vehicle tax credit was worth $7,500 for new EVs and up to $4,000 for used ones. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
This year's NFL playoffs could represent a shift to a new generation of winning players. The top two seeds in both the AFC and NFC are led by young or unheralded quarterbacks, including Denver's Bo Nix, New England's Drake May, Seattle's Sam Darnold, and Chicago's Caleb Williams. All while perennial MVP candidates like Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are sitting at home. Veteran QBs like Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Hurts, and Matthew Stafford are back in the postseason, vying for a spot in Super Bowl 60 on February 8th. I'm Geffen Coolball.
Hey, this is Russell Wilson. This is Joe Montana.
This is Dak Prescott.
Hey, this is Jason Kelce, and you're listening to Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Welcome to On Football. I'm Rob Motti. Wild Card Weekend is here. Exciting games on tap. Six games in all. 49ers against Philly. Buffalo against Jacksonville, so many others. Looking forward to all of the great action Wild Card Weekend. Black Monday saw four more coaches get fired. Tough time for coaches. A lot of teams out there now looking for a new head coach, looking for new leadership. Our guest this week is Titans defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons. Really enjoyed my conversation. Stay tuned for this one. Ravens rookie kicker Tyler Loop missed a 44-yard field goal that would have sent Baltimore to the playoffs as the AFC North champion, and it would have sent the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin home. Instead, it's Lamar Jackson headed into the offseason. Now, Tyler, you could see, instantly felt terrible about it, as any player would. John Harbaugh had to walk with his arm around the kid to the locker room after the game. And he handled it well. He handled it as best as he could at his locker, addressing the media. And then if he turned on social media, which I hope he didn't, Ravens fans absolutely destroyed the kid. And I understand being mad, being angry, being disappointed that your team didn't win. But the nasty comments, the vile comments, not only attacking Tyler, but going after his fiance. There's a picture of him just getting engaged and attacking her. It's uncalled for. It's unnecessary. There's no justification for it. Fans just have to do better. Jeffrey Simmons is one of the NFL's best interior defensive linemen, and he is Tennessee's nominee for the third straight season for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Jeffrey, thanks for coming on the show, man. I know the season hasn't gone the way that you guys would have hoped, but from a personal standpoint, right, you make the Pro Bowl for the fourth straight year. You've got a career high in sacks this season. How do you view the way the year went for you?
And I'm always a team first guy, so I, of course, start off with my team. It haven't been a year we expected. Coming out of training camp, and the hopes were very high. You know, the standards were very high, and personally, I thought we had something. I thought, our team, we still have a solid team, and, you know, the record don't show that, but, you know, when you turn on the tape, you're like, man, these guys play hard, they play together. Obviously, it didn't go the way we wanted to go, but, man, I'm grateful, to the work I put in this offseason, everything I did this offseason, it had a purpose, I should say. From changing my diet to weight, I was committed with my workouts, just everything, my mobility and things of that nature, to throughout the season. You know, one thing that I'm big on is going back and reflecting. The season didn't go well for me. What could I have done better? Word I kept coming back to with consistency.
When you think about the future and you look at what Cam Ward was able to do this year as a rookie, see, like I'm looking at his numbers and just from the outside, you see Peyton Manning threw 28 picks in his rookie season. Cam Ward's protected the football. He's done a lot of good things. How excited are you about the future? What's impressed you the most about playing with him?
His poise. You know, I'm excited. I told our media after I think it was one home game, maybe on the road. And I was like, this is the reason why I'm so excited for our future here in Tennessee. He's one of the reasons. Like, you know, to see our young guys go out there and compete the way they compete, to see them come to work each and every day, make you excited. Excited for the future. It make you excited to come to work, you know, even throughout a rough season, because you know what you're gonna get out of the quarterback play. A guy who, you know, he competitive as hell. Like, I mean, everyone saw how, you know, we kind of was going jawing back in training camp. Like, I knew then, like, this is a competitive guy, and we're gonna be in great hands. So, you know, he's a guy who come in with that attitude. You know, even in captain meetings, he's a competitor, man. His poise and his will to want to win, you know, it shows each and every day. And then on Sundays, I mean, some of the things he do on Sundays, you know, I'm on the sideline like, bro, throw the ball away. But then he just magically, we get a first down. So it's just things in that nature too, where that's the type of thing that excites you. And you understand the reason why he had them capabilities of being the number one pick. So, I mean, I'm a defensive guy, but when you see growth, you know growth, and Cam have gotten better throughout this year. So it's very exciting.
We mentioned the Pro Bowl, and you've been also second team All-Pro a few times. There's a lot of individual awards, Jeffrey, in this sport, right? But the one that guys often talk about, like, is so special, so meaningful to them, is the Walter Payton Man of the Year, because it recognizes what you do off the field, what you do in the community. What would it mean? 3 years in a row, you've been the nominee for your team. What would it mean to you to get that award?
Man, you always look at the, man, I want to be Defensive Player of the Year. I want to be, you know, this, that, the MVP. But when you talk about the Walter Payton Man of the Year, and I always tell people, like, I don't do the things I do in the community for that award. Of course, it's come with it, and I'm grateful to be able to represent the Titans, but for the third year in a row. But that award, you know, it's the reason why that award announced last at the NFL Honors, because that's just how much that award means. To bring that award to Tennessee for the first time, I would be lost as words, because that stands for something. You know, it's, you know, not just your game on, and I remember being on the Zoom with all the other 31 guys, and I was just talking about just, you know, the work we are doing. I mean, it's not done. And I kind of shared a little bit about just what happened to me a weekend right before I got on that Zoom to, you know, these young guys and these kids in our community. They really need us. And that's what my foundation is surrounded, is the youth. And, you know, each and every day I can step in community to make someone's day better, to be the light that I know that we need, continue to use my platform to be able to, I guess, uplift our youth. I think that's what means the most to me, because our youth need us, and that's kind of what I kind of said even in my interview here. I did kind of, I'm sure you saw, like, with the break-in that happened in my house. And when you turn on the video film that I saw, all them guys look young. And it just, what if somebody with our platform could have touched one of them kids to just pull them out the street? And that's the biggest thing that I try to do with my platform. No matter if it's here or back in Mississippi, that's the reason why I wanted to target our youth. I know how easy it is stepping in that field to want to be in the streets, to want to, I guess, game bang or whatever it may be. Like, I know how easy it is, especially when you're in a city like this or when you're in a small town that I'm from. So it would mean the world to me to be able to bring that trophy back to Nashville, because it just wouldn't be representing me, it'd be representing all the people around me, all the people that have helped me continue to use my platform, and just the both communities that I serve here and in Mississippi. So
it's time for Pro Picks, the playoff edition. We went 2-2 straight up last week, 3-1 against the spread. So the four pack finished the regular season 51-20-1 overall, 44-27-1 against the spread. That's a 6-10 winning percentage. There are six games this weekend. I'm going to give you two because I just don't love all of them. I've got to pick them all. I'm going to give you two, and I'm going to start with the best bet. LA Rams 12-5 at Carolina. The Panthers were 8-9. They backed into the playoffs as the NFC South champion. Now, The Panthers stunned the Rams 31-28 at home on November 30th. Matthew Stafford threw two interceptions in that game, including a pick six. Bryce Young had one of his best games of the season. He was 15 of 20, 206 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. LA was in the race for the number one seed up until they lost back-to-back games to Seattle and Atlanta week 16 and 17. In Carolina, as I said earlier, they kind of backed into the playoffs. They got in when Atlanta beat New Orleans to eliminate Tampa Bay. Go figure. It was crazy in the NFC South. Panthers are the number four seed. They are the fifth team to reach the playoffs with a losing record. Now, of the first four, including the Panthers, who did it in 2014, those teams are 2-2. Also, here's another stat. Road teams in the playoffs that have at least four more wins than their opponent, in which the LA Rams do, they've got 12, Carolina has 8, those road teams in the playoffs are 2-6. But I don't care about all that. The Rams are just a much better team, so forget about playoff history. Rams 30-16. The other game I'll give you, Buffalo 12-5 at Jacksonville 13-4. The Bills are 1.5-point favorites. They didn't win the AFC East, ending a five-year run, so they've got to take that wild card route. They're the number six seed, but Josh Allen and the Bills, they don't have to worry about the Chiefs this year. Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City didn't make the playoffs. They knocked the Bills out 4 out of the last 5 seasons. Now, the Bills got an NFL rushing champion in James Cook. Take some pressure off Josh Allen, but he's going up against the Jaguars' number one run defense in the NFL. Whereas on the flip side, Trevor Lawrence had a great year in his first season under Liam Cohen, but he's going up against the NFL's number one pass defense in Buffalo. I think the Jaguars are ahead of schedule under Liam Cohen. They've won 8 in a row to close out the season, including a victory against Denver. Whereas the Bills and Sean McDermott and Josh Allen, it's now or never. I'm taking Bills 26-23. That's it for this week. Thank you to Jeffrey Simmons. Thank you for listening to On Football. And thank you to Hayat Pinjwani and Guillermo Gonzalez for producing this episode. Please check out apnews.com for the full pro picks, on football analysis, and more NFL news.
The Labor Department says employers added 50,000 jobs in December. That's nearly unchanged from the revised figure of 56,000 new jobs in November. And the unemployment rate slipped to 4.4%, the first decline since June. Gus Fauché, chief economist with PNC Financial Services Group, says there's just too much economic uncertainty.
I think that businesses in the current environment are reluctant to hire because they're not sure what the economy is going to look like in 2026. There's a lot of uncertainty surrounding tariffs and what's going to happen there. There's a lot of uncertainty about consumer spending. There's uncertainty about investment in artificial intelligence, whether that's going to pay off.
December's numbers cap a year of sluggish hiring, especially after President Donald Trump imposed sweeping tariffs on dozens of countries. Donna Water, Washington.
One of the world's rarest whale species is having more babies this year, but experts say many more young are needed to help stave off the possibility of extinction. The North Atlantic right whale's population numbers are an estimated 384 animals and is slowly rising after several years of decline. The whales have gained more than 7% of their 2020 population. Researchers have identified 15 calves this winter, but the species still needs approximately 50 or more calves per year for many years to stop its decline and allow for recovery. The whales give birth off the southeastern United States every winter before migrating north to feed. The whales are vulnerable to collisions with large ships and entanglement in commercial fishing gear. Advocates are pushing for stronger laws to help protect against those threats. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Guides who take tourists to enjoy the striking views of Sicily's Mount Etna are up in arms over tougher restrictions imposed by local authorities after a round of eruptions at the giant volcano in recent weeks. Mount Etna's latest eruption, which began on New Year's Day, is producing spectacular lava flows. But in response, authorities have heightened safety measures, including limits on group sizes, excursions only before dusk, and a 660-foot exclusion zone from the lava. Guides and visitors say the new restrictions are excessive and has prompted guides to go on strike for the first time in decades. William Visser, a tourist from Holland, is one of the visitors frustrated by the regulations.
We are waiting now for our guide because it's not allowed to go in without a guide at the moment.
The Sicilian volcano is a popular tourist destination visited by 1.5 million people a year, many of whom trek almost all the way to its summit. I'm Karen Chamas.
Thousands of homes and businesses across northern France and southern England are without power. Residents facing widespread travel delays after a storm swept in off the Atlantic, bringing high winds, rain and snow to the region. The low-pressure system, named Storm Goretti, pummeled the Isles of Scilly overnight with wind gusts of up to 99 mph recorded in the archipelago off the southwestern tip of England. As the storm moved across the UK, it collided with an existing massive Arctic air, bringing snow to northern areas and heavy rain to other areas. While in Albania, one man drowned and hundreds of houses have been flooded after torrential rainfall, with the Vojosa River overflowing its banks. Nearly 700 families were evacuated and placed in nearby hotels for shelter. Ukraine's security service says it has recovered debris from what it identifies as a Russian Oreshnik intermediate-range ballistic missile launched at the Lviv region overnight. In a video statement, Artem Dechyrenko, SBU spokesman, says among the parts found so far are the stabilization and guidance unit, and these are actually city missiles, parts of the engine installation, fragments of the orientation mechanism, the nozzle from the development unit's platform, etc. Dechyrenko adds the corresponding fragments have the status of evidence and are being prepared for transfer to in-depth examination. Investigators say the missile was fired from Russia's Kapustin Yar testing range and targeted civilian infrastructure at Ukrainian territory near the EU's border. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
On this week's AP Religion Roundup, as many in the West return to work, the Christmas season continues around the world. In Ethiopia's capital this week, thousands of Orthodox Christians in white traditional attire celebrated Christmas Eve with a mass, prayers, and hymns during a candlelight ceremony. While most in the U.S. have cleaned up their Christmas decorations and have left the holiday season behind, for many in Eastern churches, the actual 12 days of Christmas just got started this week. AP religion reporter Peter Smith explains.
For millions of Orthodox believers around the world, January 7th is the date to commemorate Christmas. Some of the countries where Orthodox are observing Christmas on January 7th would be Russia, Serbia, Georgia, and Ethiopia, among others. The difference, though, is that many are following the older Julian calendar, which dates back to ancient days. So in one sense, the Orthodox observance of Christmas is similar to those in Western churches in that it involves a major liturgy that commemorates the birth of Christ. However, where it may diverge are in some of the cultural traditions. There's no Santa Claus or Christmas tree in the Western sense. Those are very Western traditions, but they have their own. For example, in Serbian churches, they will begin the service outdoors with the burning of a Yule log. One thing that Catholic, Orthodox, and many Protestant traditions have in common is this concept of the 12 days of Christmas. Most people know about that from the Christmas song, but it actually refers to a real thing on the liturgical calendar, which is that there is a 12-day season of Christmas culminating in a feast known as Epiphany on January 6th. In the West, that's generally observed as Three Kings Day. In Orthodox churches, they commemorate the baptism of Jesus on that date.
I'm Walter Ratliff.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.